As we open within ourselves to this very deep, very intrinsic perspective, as we open to what appears to be this higher dimension, open to the revelation of the deep structure of our own being, that being is going to surface within us and to more clearly define itself within our being. And as we open together to spiritual law and desire to perceive it, to feel it, to sense it, we become conscious of the workings of that law in the universe, as well as the workings of that law in the universe of our being. And in order to do so, we all know that we have to let go of self. There can be no vestiges of the private self here that we can take on this journey with us. We have to be willing to let go of any kind of preconceived identification or response. Any consideration of ourselves as a private self apart from being, a private model apart from the model of being. We have to let go of any vestige that's lurking in our consciousness of the third stage, the fourth stage, the fifth stage, and even the sixth stage of consciousness. And that's really our collective mission today, right? Is to be so selfless that we let go of the memory of the self of past millenniums, or anything within us that could inadvertently, subconsciously attach to those outgrown, outmoded, outworn stages of consciousness. We would all feel really stupid running around like the cavemen, you know, with big clubs in our hand, and yet, mentally, in some ways, and consciousness-wise, in some ways, we have places that we're hanging on to very, very outmoded identifications and outmoded responses. It's not that we wish to. It's not that we even think about it mentally. It's something that is instinctive within us. It's, for those of you who are familiar with my prayer tapes, it's really that soul position where the question came up at the time, what are my instincts? And what instinct is really motivating me? Is it a physical instinct? Is it a psychic instinct? Is it a spiritual instinct? And that's really what this is. If we have any physical, hereditary, ties to an old paradigm, if we have any psychic ties, memory ties to an old paradigm, we're going to carry that like excess baggage with us into this communion of consciousness, and it's going to hold it back. So together we have to at least be willing to let go of all the vestiges of the stages of consciousness to any approach we've ever had to searching for God, to any approach we've ever had for imbibing the truth, for imbibing reality, for experiencing reality, for imbibing the laws, for flowing the laws. We have to be willing to let go of all the past methods and let the principle of the deep model of being bring forth within us a totally new standpoint, a totally new view. Whatever it is that it's trying to get us to identify with in that seventh stage, which maybe we're just a teeny bit in advance of, because technically, as the millenniums go, It should reach our doorstep around the year 2000. But we can be there now because we live in this wonderful, timeless, spaceless consciousness where, if it's easy to hang back into the third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, it should be just as easy to proceed forth into the seventh. So that's part of what we need to do today, as Mrs. Eddy said, to abnegate self. And then we're going to start, as I've said a few times already, and we'll probably say a few thousand more, from the whole, allowing it to elucidate itself operationally and dimensionally. We're going to be divine scientists together. And we're going to first focus on the whole, and then go within that whole and focus on specific laws. We're going to penetrate the depth of each of those laws and let our former concepts of those laws dissolve, and let being bring forth deeper, newer, more holistic concepts of those laws. We're going to allow the power of each law to come to us, to generate within us, to dominate and absolutely captivate and engage our being. We're really on an incredible adventure together, if you think about it. And we're going to allow the power of the law itself to transform the opaque facets of our consciousness, to obliterate any resistance to its rule, so that it may be at work within us, so that it can operate within us without any restrictions, totally unimpeded. So together now, I invite you to focus with me on each of the laws and to internalize those laws and absolutely yield to their power. And there isn't a question that they are very powerful, beyond any earthly power that we have ever experienced or touched. We will start with the science level, the dimension of science, coming out from the one being, the law of that dimension, being, that being is its own infinite being. And as we begin to flow together, we're going to proceed forth from that being, from principle, and we're going to just let it interpret that which it is. An interpretation that we couldn't even begin to understand if it weren't intrinsic to our own being. And through the prayer of law, we're simply going to open ourselves back up to that being, which is its own infinite being, and therefore truly is the being of our being. For there is one being, being the infinitude of its own being. It is an indivisible being, conscious only of itself, that which it is, and expressing itself as a whole, as the infinite one, as the infinite principle. This being is expressing the nature, essence, and wholeness of its being as the matrix of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And as this being is its own being, it would be seen that mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love are their own being, their own mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. Consequently, the matrix of being. When we look at this matrix of infinity, we are really looking at the dimension of science, not as science, which is what we just did a moment ago with just being being its own infinite being, no other symbol, but with a touch of divine science. The minute that we see that infinite being through its matrix, we are seeing the dimension of science as divine science. But that's really necessary, for it's necessary for that being in its interpretation to the being of our being to elucidate and reduce itself into symbols that our being is in touch with and that we can understand. So here in this first stage, it has picked up a reflection of divine science. As this being, as we have said, is its own infinite being, then obviously every aspect of its being, every aspect of its matrix, is its own infinite being. Therefore, we could focus in upon any specific aspect of this being and be correct, as long as we never lose sight of the whole. So for the purpose of exploration, we can focus in upon what we would call the vertical of mind, or the vertical of spirit, or the vertical of soul, principle, life, truth, love. I must have a matrix chart here somewhere that you're all familiar with. We could focus in upon any column of this matrix and still be accurate and correct. So, just for our purposes today, and because there isn't time to focus in upon every column together today, or the whole talk would simply be on the dimension of science, we must choose a place to focus in upon. And as I was flowing on my own, it came to me that a wonderful place to focus for today would be truth. The obviousness, I guess, I don't need to explain. Since we are making a consciousness transformation, what better place to focus on than that aspect of being that has to do with consciousness, that major symbol of being that is behind consciousness, that which we understand as truth. And from this high, very deep standpoint, being is being the truth of its own infinite being. Truth being its own infinite truth. And as truth has a sevenfold reflection, truth, therefore, is its own infinite mind of truth. It is the power and activity of its own being. That truth is its own infinite spirit of truth. It is the infinite reflection of itself as the one and only truth. That truth is its own infinite soul of truth, the infinite withinness, the center and circumference of its own being. That truth is its own infinite principle of truth. Thereby it is the structure and system of its own being. That truth is able, therefore, to interpret its own truthfulness, its own inner state of reality. It is able to prove itself, to prove the truth of its own being. And that truth is its own infinite life of truth. It is the infinite existence and experience of its own being, of its own inner calculus, really. And that truth is its own infinite truth of truth. It is the consciousness of itself, the consciousness of its own inner truth. And that truth is its own infinite love of truth, the all-inclusive, integrated wholeness of the model of truth. And if we had the time, we could just sit deeply with those sevenfold symbols of truth, pondering and reflecting upon truth being the truth of its own being. And I invite you to do that on your own when you have more opportunity. But for the moment, I would like to take you to another reflection of being. Science as it appears in its reflection of absolute Christian science. When we focus in upon what we call the numeral characteristics of the synonymous terms of being, truly those numeral characteristics or timeless, spaceless terms, as we know, really compute with the dimension of absolute Christian science. But of course, when we see them from the standpoint of the one being, when we see them from the standpoint of being, the being of its own being, then of course, we are still truly on the dimension of science. So, if we are exploring the dimension of science as absolute Christian science, it sounds something like this. Truth is its own infinite numeral characteristic of truth. So let's pick one. Since today It's all about consciousness. Let's feel that consciousness is a good place for us to focus in upon. And let's do so. Let's explore the fact that truth is its own infinite consciousness of truth. The divine self-consciousness of truth. And as those of you know who have exercised and explored this dimension, one can sit for a long time, deeply imbibing and pondering what all of this means. If truth is its own infinite self-consciousness of truth, and it's conscious of the whole of truth, conscious of the whole of its being, then it too is conscious of the sevenfold aspect of its being. It is conscious of the mind of itself, the spirit of itself, the soul, principle, life, truth, and love of itself. So therefore, truth is conscious of the sevenfold consciousness of its being. And if we take that into greater depth, then we can see that truth is conscious of the power of its consciousness. In fact, truth is the power of its own infinite consciousness. And the implications of that are wonderful, because we can see then that truth doesn't need to be empowered from anything else. It holds intrinsically within its being its own power to be conscious, its own power to operate, its own power to calculate. And we can see furthermore, and now we're going to pick up another reflection of science. We're going to come and pick up a reflection of Christian Science. For science, as it reflects Christian Science, handles the belief that there can be a counterfeit of that dimension. So therefore, now in our exercise, if we're exploring that truth is the power of its consciousness, we can go further and say, and therefore, there isn't any other power of consciousness. There isn't anything else that could empower consciousness. Nothing from outside of truth is needed or could empower that consciousness, because truth really is the power of its own consciousness. Because truth intrinsically has within it the power to operate its consciousness. So now you see we have picked up the full, through exercise, we've picked up the full dimensional view of truth in this one aspect, the mind of its truth, and even in a more specific aspect, the power of its consciousness, which is not to say that we cannot do the same thing with variations on this theme, as long as we hold to a very strict box, the box of the law of the dimension, which of course states that being is its own infinite being, or stated in another way, that mind through love are the infinite being of their own being their own mind through love, or in this instance, that truth is the being of itself as truth, divine science reflection, that truth is the power of its consciousness, absolute Christian science reflection. Therefore, there isn't any other power of consciousness, Christian science reflection. And quickly together, we will see, therefore, if we run through the sevenfold aspect of that truth, that truth is the inner reality of that consciousness. And therefore, there is no other reality of consciousness. There isn't a material reality of consciousness. There really is only truth's reality of consciousness. That's the only consciousness that there is. And that consciousness is absolutely real and could never, never be unreal. And that the reality of that consciousness is the only reality there is. That truth, being the soul of its truth, is also the identity of its consciousness. And there isn't any other identity of consciousness. It is the whole infinite withinness of its consciousness, the center and circumference of its own consciousness, and there isn't any other. That which is established within truth is the center and circumference of its own consciousness. It is the total identification of its consciousness. It contains the entire nature of its consciousness. And as truth is the principle of truth, truth is really the structure of its own infinite consciousness. It sets up the categories and classifications of its consciousness. And there isn't a possibility that there's an unstructured consciousness, or that there's a consciousness that doesn't have the ability to classify and categorize. It does, because that consciousness has a reflection of principle. That truth is the principle of its own truth. Therefore, it is the structure. Therefore, the relationships of its own infinite consciousness. And that truth is the life of its truth. It is therefore the existence of that consciousness. And there isn't a place where consciousness doesn't exist. It is the whole life of that consciousness, and it gives life unto that consciousness, and there isn't a possibility for there to be a dead consciousness, a dormant consciousness, even the consciousness that we think is asleep. There isn't a consciousness that has ever come to an end. There is only a very live, existing consciousness, and as consciousness is the truth of its truth, it is consciously conscious of its own being as truth. It is consciously conscious of its own consciousness. It is just a fully awakened, aware consciousness of its own being. And as truth is the love of its own truth, it is the integrated patterns of its own consciousness. It is the holistic, comprehensive being of its own consciousness. It is really the perfection of its own consciousness. And it isn't possible for there to be an imperfect consciousness. It isn't possible for there to be a disintegrated consciousness. It isn't really possible for there to be an unwhole consciousness. I was looking for a term, the opposite of holistic, right? An unholistic consciousness. It isn't possible for us to have a limited state of consciousness. We're down to zero time.